Hi friends, this is Dr. Ralph Wilson with the Jesus Walk Bible Study Series. We're looking at discipleship lessons from the life of Jacob, and this is the introduction to Jacob's life and times. As we begin our study of the life of Jacob, we'll be traveling back through time nearly 4,000 years into a semi-nomadic Middle Bronze Age culture far removed from our own. While many of the customs will be explained in the lessons to follow, here's an introduction to Jacob's life and times. Incidentally, unless otherwise designated, all scripture references are to Genesis. Jacob's life in a nutshell. Well, you can't adequately sum up Jacob's career in just a few paragraphs, but for the sake of perspective, here's an attempt. Jacob is the grandson of Abraham, to whom God revealed himself, and the son of Isaac. He is born a twin and spends his life in sibling rivalry with his slightly older brother, Esau. He has two streaks that are to dominate his life, a sly, deceptive nature and a quest for spiritual things. As his spiritual side grows, his deceptive side diminishes. Because his deceptive behavior incurs Esau's anger, Jacob flees for his life to Haran, the family's ancestral home in Mesopotamia. There he acquires two wives, two concubines, and a dozen children. When he arrives in Haran, he has only the clothes on his back to call his own. He leaves, 20 years later, a wealthy man, which he attributes to God's blessing. As he returns to Canaan, he wrestles with God, reconciles with Esau, and settles again in the promised land, living at Succoth, Shechem, Bethel, Hebron, and finally Goshen in Egypt. His sons are jealous of Jacob's favorite son Joseph, whom they sell into slavery. But Joseph eventually rises to second in command of all Egypt. When Jacob is an old man, a famine devastates Canaan, forcing the family to buy grain in Egypt. Through a course of events, Jacob reconciles with his brothers and moves the entire clan to Egypt, where Jacob dies at age 147. There it is in a nutshell, but we'll spend 7 weeks examining the lessons and significance of his life. Jacob grows up with the monotheistic faith of his father and grandfather, but the family in Mesopotamia are idolaters and polytheists, worshippers of many gods. Jacob's wife Rachel, who grows up in Mesopotamia, steals her father's household gods. Her family's names, Terah, Laban, Sarah, Milcah, contain linguistic elements that reveal allegiance to the moon god, who is referred to in several inscriptions as Sin or Shahar, the lord of Haran. He was the tutelary god of Haran. Worship of the moon god involved temples as well as ziggurats, with small temples at the top. These temples were staffed by priests who offered sacrifices and made libations, singers and musicians, as well as male and female prostitutes, whose activities many scholars relate to the fertility cult. Much later than Jacob, the Israelites are warned against the worship of the moon, sun, and stars, though this kind of worship continued under idolatrous kings. Jacob, however, is a monotheist, a worshiper of one God. He uses primarily three words for God. El is the generic Canaanite name for the cosmic deity. Yahweh is God's revealed name. It is sometimes translated Jehovah in the King James Version, but usually it is expressed as Lord in English Bibles, following the Jewish tradition of not pronouncing the divine name, but substituting Adonai, Lord, instead. And third, El Shaddai, or Almighty God, is used occasionally by Isaac and Jacob. The monotheism of the patriarchs contrasts sharply with the polytheism of their forebears. Patriarchs believe God to be the Lord of the cosmos, supreme judge of mankind, controller of nature, highly exalted and eternal. Their relationship with God is personal rather than formal. However, Jacob and the other patriarchs practiced various forms of worship, including building altars, erecting stones, offering sacrifices and libations, calling on the name of Yahweh, circumcision, prayer, making vows, and tithing. We'll examine some of these further as we study the details of Jacob's life. Though the traditional view is that Moses was the author of the Pentateuch, since the Enlightenment there has been growing speculation about authorship. The most celebrated and complex theory of authorship was advanced by German Old Testament scholar Julius Wellhausen, referred to as the documentary hypothesis. He theorized four sources, which are abbreviated JEDP. J for Yahwist, E for Elohist, D for Deuteronomic, and P for Priestly. The Yahwist strand could be identified, so goes the theory, by the editor's use of Yahweh, Jehovah, or Lord for God. The Elohist strand by the use of El for God. Wellhausen was widely influential, and the theory grew more and more complex and speculative. These days, however, Wellhausen's JEDP theory is in disarray. R.N. Wybray commented in 1995 on the state of Pentateuchal studies, "There is at the present moment no consensus whatever about when, why, how, and through whom the Pentateuch reached its present form, and opinions about the dates of composition of its various parts differ by more than 500 years. Certainly, Jesus, the Jews, and the early church all believed that the Pentateuch, which the Jews referred to as the Law, was inspired by God and attributed it as a whole to Moses. It is likely that the materials Moses and other early editors worked with represent oral and written traditions dated much earlier than themselves. Whether Moses was the first to write down the stories of Abraham and his descendants, or served as an editor himself, we just don't know. Our focus will not be on the speculative theories of sources, but on the book of Genesis that comes down to us in the Bible, and the meaning of that revelation. Well, when did Jacob live? Dating is complex. It is difficult to find fixed events in Genesis that can be connected absolutely to dates established from archaeology. One approach to dating Abraham is to backtrack from the first fixed event we find in the Bible, a statement that Solomon laid the temple foundation in the 480th year after the Exodus. That's in 1 Kings 6:1, which would date the Exodus at about 1447 to 1446 BC, the so-called early dating. Working backward from the genealogies and other data in the Pentateuch puts the birth of Abraham in 2166 BC and frames Abraham's life from 2166 to 1991 BC. Another approach to dating uses a combination of history and archaeology. There are no archaeological findings that refer specifically to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, so where they fit into the archaeological periods is not precise. An early date for the Exodus would put the birth of Jacob and Esau at about 2006 BC, while a late date for the Exodus puts the birth year at about 1835 BC. As I've studied the issues, the early date for the Exodus makes more sense to me. So the following dates are based on an early date for the Exodus. 2006 BC, the birth of Jacob and Esau, probably in Beer Lahai Roy. 1966 BC, the marriage of Esau and Beersheba, age 40. 1930 BC, Jacob's journey to Haran, age 76. 1923 BC, Jacob's marriages, age 83, in Haran. 1918 B.C., birth of Judah, Jacob's age is now 88. 1916 B.C., the end of Jacob's 14-year labor for his wives, Jacob's age is now 90. 1916 B.C., the birth of Joseph, 1910 B.C., end of Jacob's stay with Laban, he's now 96. 1910 B.C., Jacob's arrival at Shechem, 1902 BC, rape of Dinah. 1900, marriage of Judah. Judah is 18. Jacob is 106. 1899, the selling of Joseph. Joseph is 17. Jacob is 107. 1888 BC, Joseph imprisoned. 1886, Joseph released from prison, made ruler of Egypt. 1886, death of Isaac. Isaac was 180, Jacob 120 at the time. 1879 BC, beginning of the famine, Joseph is 127. 1878, the brothers' first visit to Egypt. 1877, the brothers' second visit to Egypt. 1876, Jacob's descent to Egypt at age 130. 1859 BC, the death of Jacob at age 147 BC. 1806 BC, the death of Joseph at age 110. As a semi-nomadic shepherd, Jacob moved frequently, especially in his earlier years. Here are some of the places he lived. Beer Lahai Roi, Jacob's birthplace, means well of the living one who sees me. It is the site of a well in the Negev desert south of Beersheba on the road to Shur between Kadesh and Bered. Beersheba, where Jacob lived as a boy, was the site of another well in the northern Negev desert. The name means well of seven. It contains rich alluvial soil where crops could be grown and Abraham's herds could be grazed. The region was controlled by Gerar, the nearest commercial center. Gerar was a town in the western Negev desert near Gaza, apparently controlled by Philistine or Sea tribes during the patriarchal period. Isaac and Jacob spent some time in Gerar during their desert wanderings. Haran, where Jacob labored for 20 years and raised his family, was the ancestral homeland of Jacob's ancestors. It is in present-day Turkey along the Julab River. Succoth, near where the Jabbok River enters the Jordan, was named after the booths, Sukkah, that Jacob built there for his livestock after reconciling with Esau and returning to Canaan. Shechem is an ancient walled city that guarded the pass between Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim on the main road from Jerusalem to the north. Jacob's family camped on land outside the city near the Tree of Morah. Bethel is where God first appeared to Jacob and where he returned later with his family. Originally named Luz, Jacob renamed it Bethel, House of God. It lies on the main north-south watershed route about 12 miles north of Jerusalem. Hebron, meaning league or confederacy, lies about 19 miles south of Jerusalem, close to the Tree of Mamre. It was an occasional home for Jacob and the final residence of Isaac. At Sarah's death, Abraham had purchased a burial cave at nearby Machpelah from Ephron the Hittite. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and other family members were buried there. And then Goshen is a district in Egypt where Jacob lived for the last 18 years of his life. The Israelites lived here until the Exodus, centuries later, in an area known as the District of Ramesses, probably near Pi Ramesses. We've placed Jacob and his family in history and geography. Now it's time to examine their story to see what we can learn about their God and ours. God bless you as you study.